Creating video content for social media is a great idea, but it's disposable. It doesn't last forever. We're going to talk today about why you also need to post that content on YouTube where it lives forever. Stay tuned. This episode of Keeping It Real is brought to you by Real Geeks. How many homes are you going to sell this year? Do you have the right tools? Is your website turning soft leads into interested buyers? Are you spending money on leads that aren't converting? Well, Real Geeks is your solution. Find out why agents across the country choose Real Geeks as their technology partner. Real Geeks was created by an agent for agents. They pride themselves on delivering a sales and marketing solution so that you can easily generate more business. Their agent websites are fast and built for lead conversion with a smooth search experience for your visitors. Real Geeks also includes an easy-to-use agent CRM. So once a lead signs up on your website, you can track their interest and have great follow-up conversations. Real Geeks is loaded with a ton of marketing tools to nurture your leads and increase brand awareness. Visit realgeeks.com/keepingitrealpod and find out why realtors come to Real Geeks to generate more business. Again, visit realgeeks.com/keepingitrealpod. And now, onto our show. Today's episode is sponsored by Virtual Staging AI. Are you looking for a cheaper and faster alternative for your virtual staging? Check out Virtual Staging AI. They offer an innovative AI staging service that gets you results in seconds and for less than $1 per picture. It's really easy to use. Just upload a picture, choose a room type, for example, a bedroom or a living room, and a furniture style like modern or farmhouse, and 30 seconds later, you get the stage results. Try it now for free at virtualstagingai.app. Again, that's virtualstagingai.app. And now, on to our show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the largest podcast made by real estate agents and for real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I'm your guide and host through the show. And in just a moment, we're going to be speaking with top producer Gemma Leggett. Before we get to Gemma, just a couple of quick reminders. As always, the best way you can help our show, if we're helping you, is by telling a friend. Just think of one other agent that would benefit from hearing this great conversation you're about to hear with Gemma. And also, please support our sponsors. We love our sponsors. They keep the lights on for us so that we can continue making these episodes for you. So please check out their products and services. I promise you will be very impressed with our sponsors. That's it for tonight, guys. Let's get to the main event, my conversation with Gemma Leggett. Okay, today on the show, my guest is Gemma Leggett with RE/MAX Hallmark in Canada, just north of Toronto, just outside Toronto. Let me tell you more about Gemma. Now, she stands as one of RE/MAX Hallmark's most accomplished and award-winning individual real estate brokers. She's based in Innisfil, Ontario, just north of Toronto, and she extends her services to the York and Simcoe region, leveraging industry-leading systems, services, and marketing strategies. Her core mission is straightforward: to craft memorable experiences through exceptional service, going above and beyond to provide her clients with red carpet treatment. Rooted in her fundamental beliefs, she prioritizes relationships, takes ownership, expresses gratitude, fosters community, and continually refines her skills to achieve results. I would like everyone to check out her website, which is gemmaleggett.ca. I will have a link to that in the show notes. And also, I'd like you to follow her on YouTube. We will have a link to her YouTube channel as well in the show notes. Gemma, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Very excited. You may be, I think in all of the episodes we've done, I think you maybe are the second Canadian we've ever had. So I've neglected our Canadian audience because that's the second most, US has the most listeners and Canada for us is number two. So, I am excited to chat with you. And also, of course, real estate is in some ways universal anyway. So I'm excited to chat with you. So tell us a little bit, before you became a superstar, you had to start somewhere. So tell us how you got involved in real estate.
Well, I was born and raised in Paris. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you for all your questions today. So I was born and raised in Paris in France, and I came here in Canada 20 years ago. And when I bought my first condo back home in Paris, I was 23. And back then, I already knew that I wanted to work in real estate, but I didn't do it quite yet. I was working in the TV industry back then. Then when I arrived in Canada, in Toronto, I had to do a few little jobs here and there. And then I became a mother. And then this is when I said, you know what? This is it. Real estate, it is. I want to be a realtor. So I went back to school, which was not easy. But in 2017, I decided to become a realtor full time with two young children. And it was a unique experience for sure.
So you came over from Paris, and you know, you became a mom, and you started to, of course, figure out what can I do outside of, you know, the film and television industry, which is what you were with back in Europe. So how did you get started? I would imagine, how long had you been in Canada before you decided to start practicing?
So I've been a realtor for 7 years. I've been in Canada for 20, so that's 13 years after.
Gotcha.
And when I first started, we just moved in Innisville, so I didn't know anybody. I didn't really have friends living here. My family is back home, obviously, so I didn't have a sphere of influence to work with at the beginning. So I just did the old door knocking every single day, 1 hour a day, every day, rain or shine, snow or whatever. I remember it was in February and my jaw was frozen because I couldn't speak anymore, but I did not stop door knocking every single day. I didn't get a deal from door knocking until 8 months later. Yeah, 8 months it took me. So I was doing door knocking, obviously all the Facebook, Instagram, all that. And then I started to do my YouTube channel, which took me a long time to build as well, because YouTube does take a long time. And if you watch my first video, which I did not delete, it's still there because I want to remember where I come from. But yeah, it was quite painful back then.
We should also mention real quickly, Gemma's YouTube channel is Gemma Leggett Real Estate Broker. We'll again have a link to that. Just do a search for Gemma Leggett. You'll find her really easily. But I love that you kept your initial video, because I imagine, I have not seen that original video yet, but I imagine it's probably not as well produced as what you're doing today. Is that fair?
Yeah, very much so. I did it with my phone and I looked really awkward in that video. But again, I kept it because it is always a good reminder of where I started and where I am today. So when I did some training for my company, Remax Hallmark, I did show that video to every single agent who's telling me, oh, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I'm not a natural like you. And I'm like, well, it took me years to be where I am today. So if you think that you're going to do one video and become a rock star, that's not happening.
Yeah, it can happen, but it's about as likely as winning the lottery, right?
That's correct.
It's possible, but probably don't bet on it.
That's correct.
Before we get into sort of the do's and don'ts and some ideas for our listeners for how to best think about video marketing through YouTube, I would just love to hear what kind of results you're getting. So understanding that, by the way, congratulations on door knocking for as long as you did. That is not an easy, that is really something to test how much rejection you can handle, right? Because it is a lot of thanks, but no thanks, or maybe worse.
Yes. Well, when that happened, the best thing that I told myself was, okay, next.
Yep. And I think too, I think there's something to be said for dealing with rejection, because I think unless you deal with a lot of rejection, it really stings until you deal with a lot of rejection. And then after a while, you're like, oh, it's just somebody saying no, it's not that big of a deal.
Exactly.
But if it's only one person saying no, then it feels like the biggest deal in the world. When it's 500 people saying no, it's like, okay, I expect that. But also, it, I think what it does, whether it's cold calling, door knocking, it, I think it builds resiliency. If nothing else, even if you never got a deal from it, it still builds this idea of I can go talk to strangers and I'm not afraid if they aren't interested, right? Like, it's just, it's okay.
Yeah.
So I really applaud you for even doing that. But let's talk about the results you get from YouTube. So before we get into the how and why, what kind of results are you getting as far as how is it impacting your business?
Well, for example, we are just in April now, and I already sold and closed a house that I got from YouTube. So somebody reached out to me by email saying, hey, I have heard about your name on Facebook, and then I checked you out on Google. And as you know, Google own YouTube. So directly they went to my YouTube channel, they saw my videos, and right there they already loved me, and I didn't have to introduce myself whatsoever at the listing appointment. I knew I had it because I didn't even have to win them over with my personality. They already watched me and liked me. So that's already one house sold this year and closed. Last year I closed 6 from YouTube.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, you brought up a good point, and I've talked to other, what I would call influencers, who really focus a lot of their energy on, realtor influencers who really focus their energy on YouTube. And I don't think anyone's ever talked about how it helps with either a listing presentation or a buyer presentation, but you're right. It sort of does some of that work for you if your content on your channel is really strong, because they already know. And they know and like you, and maybe even trust you a little bit even before meeting you. They certainly know and like you. And you're right. You don't have to climb as high of a mountain to win the business, right? It's you've already climbed most of the way because they're like, I like this person.
Exactly.
So in it, even if it was just for that reason alone, it helps you with your close ratio when you do. And by the way, this was somebody that just reached out of the blue. Like, you didn't have any connection to this person at all?
Not at all. So the other thing that I do, which is very important when you go to a listing appointment, is I ask them, what made you call me or contact me, or why am I here? And as soon as you tell somebody, why am I here? They right away try to explain to you, well, you're here because I already know you and like you. So I'm just doing this to reinforce the fact that they have me for a reason, and therefore that's it. I have them for sure.
And you're also having them state out loud that they have chosen you, even though you already know that because you're there. You're now that is actually a brilliant and subtle little tip there. So I don't know if everybody caught that, but basically this, you could do this with any type of referral, really, but people that are either, they know you through your media, you know, they, like in Gemma's case, maybe they saw a video or two, or it's a referral from a past client. But that is a great thing to ask. Hey, why did you choose me to come in and speak with you? And whatever they say reinforces whatever decision that is. Oh, that is so smart.
Yes, because as soon as you use why for any question you ask somebody,
yeah,
right? Even if I ask you, why did you eat broccoli this morning?
Right.
You're going to try to make a point of broccoli is very good for you. Even if you don't like broccoli, you're going to still defend the fact that you ate it. So the fact that as soon as I ask, why do you have me? They want to defend it. So therefore reinforce. It's reverse psychology.
It's really, really important. And I want to just share this with everyone too. So Gemma just said something very, very profound, which is when you ask yourself a why question, your brain can't help but answer.
Yeah.
So be very careful of what you're asking yourself. Because if you're saying things like, why am I such a loser? Why aren't I doing better? Why am I struggling right now? Your brain is going to give you lots of answers. And it's going to go, because you didn't do this, because you didn't do this, this, this. Yes. And that's fine. We should know the reasons of why we are the way we are, but we shouldn't use it to define our self-worth, because we could also ask, okay, I didn't get everything done yesterday. It wasn't a perfect day, but what did I do well yesterday? And that might actually help build us up, because we know the research is in on, if we beat ourselves up, it does not usually lead to long-term motivation.
That's right.
It might possibly in the short term help if you're wired that way, but it really isn't the best strategy. So beating yourself up doesn't work. So be careful of what you say to yourself. Ask, if you're going to ask why questions to your clients or to you, use it in a way that will reinforce what you like about yourself or what will be good for the relationship with that other person. So I didn't mean to take over there, but
I totally agree with you, because why and what are two different words that can change a sentence completely. I use the why question or the what question, for example, with my children. What made you decide to do this instead of what? Why did you do this? The answer is going to be completely different.
Right.
Completely different. But I use the why question with the clients because I want them to explain to me exactly why they got me, because I want them to defend themselves on the reason why they got me. And that gets me listings 99% of the time.
It's really brilliant. And it's also based on this idea that we don't really question our own beliefs. We have to validate our own beliefs, if anything. So what you're doing is getting somebody to validate their own decision, and that reinforces it in the brain. It creates a stronger neural pathway to the hiring Gemma pathway. So brilliant strategy there. All right, let's talk YouTube. So first of all, I'd like to set the stage of how should a realtor first think about YouTube? Let's just like first set the table of what's the best way to approach YouTube, and then we can get into the specifics.
Right. So when I started with YouTube, as I said, I just used it with my phone. I videotaped myself, I posted, and then I did a lot of research, obviously, on YouTube, because nowadays we use YouTube and Google for everything. If you want to cook a salmon tonight, then what do you do? How do I cook a salmon? Most likely you're going to end up on YouTube to show you the recipe and how to do it. So I thought, okay, if I do this with real estate, then I can get ahead. So at first I didn't have the money. I didn't have all this to do it professionally.
Right.
So I still did it with my phone, and then did a lot of research on how to grow my audience. What type of content should I put? How should my YouTube channel look like? This, that, the other. And slowly but surely, it's been 6 years now, slowly but surely it evolved, and now it's getting better. And I get thousands and thousands of views. Like, for example, I have a new listing that I just posted 4 days ago, and it already have over a thousand view in less than 4 days. So that's powerful, in my opinion.
And also too, we should mention that in the big YouTuber influencer creator space, 1,000 views is nothing, but it is actually something for Gemma, because she's not working the entire world, right? So YouTube's broadcast everywhere. She doesn't care if people in India are watching. I mean, it would be nice for her view count, but it's not going to help her business unless, well, maybe I guess you could get referrals. But what she really wants is people in her local market to begin to find it. And 1,000 people in your local market watching your stuff is a lot. That is huge, huge numbers. So I would say first thing is don't worry too much about view count. Worry about the quality of content. We're going to talk about that. Actually, let's talk about that now. So, okay. So now that we have an idea of YouTube, and by the way, getting 1,000 views is not an easy thing to do regardless.
Well, not in 4 days, that's for sure. And it's remember, it's on the listing, right? So it's for a house.
Yeah.
I have other videos. One that was very, very popular, The Glamorous Life of a Realtor, who got 58,000 views, something like
amazing.
That.
It's amazing. And let's talk about, so first let's talk about what realtors do wrong on YouTube, or this could be, this could also be a Facebook reel, or just what are they doing wrong in video in general, or where are there opportunities that agents aren't sort of understanding? I'm going to preface this by saying, here's what we see a lot of. Here's my new listing. Let's walk through, and it's cool. And I love those. Those are cool. But that's about all I ever see. So talk about what we could do more that would stand out and be more effective.
Well, first of all, that's what I say all the time. Please do not copy others. You have to do what is attached to your personality. So I have a bubbly personality. If I do a video like this, it doesn't match my personality, right? So first of all, the wrong things that a lot of people are doing is they're trying to copy other people and get out of their personality. So that's, in my opinion, shouldn't happen. The second thing is, if you're boring, I'm going to stop watching after 3 seconds. Yeah. So your video needs to be catching the audience right away. And if it doesn't, then people are just going to scroll, whether it's on YouTube, on TikTok, on Reels, on whatever you want. If it's not catching, there is no point of doing it. You don't want to do quantity over quality, in my opinion.
Yeah, I will too. A couple years ago, I had somebody who was a podcast or company take a listen to some of my episodes. And I said, hey, I want you to tell me what I'm doing wrong. And there was a lot of things, and there's a lot of things I still do wrong. But one of the biggest changes I made, and this was the easiest change, and I don't know how this would work for video, but Gemma's right. You only have a few seconds to keep somebody's attention. So you first have to capture it and then keep it. And you only have a few moments to do that on video in particular. We know with TikTok, you have probably a millisecond to do it. But with YouTube, you have a little bit of longer lead time. One of the things they told me when they reviewed my show is they said, you have this intro, you have these commercials, and it's not that long. It's maybe like 3 minutes total. But people don't really love that right at the – it's okay that you're doing it, but they said they need to know what they're going to hear first. So now, about 100 episodes ago or so, we started saying, hey, in this episode, we're going to talk about this, and then we get into it. And it's only about 5 seconds long or so, but we do it so that people can then go, okay, I know what's coming. Even though we have a title, we have a description, but capturing their attention in that first few seconds is – and our numbers shot up from there just doing it that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Same thing when I sell houses, when I do the video for the house, I usually tell people, what are you looking for? Hey, are you looking for a family home, 4 bedrooms, 3 bathroom, blah, 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 by the lake? Then I got you. Right. Love so they it. Know right away, if this is not what they're looking for, they're not going to continue watching.
Yeah. Well, so outside of property videos, what kind of content are you considering? Because everyone's boundaries around like their personal life, their professional life obviously are different, but would love to get a sense of what are the types of content that you're developing for YouTube that seem to be what your audience wants.
So I feel that a lot of people need to laugh. We're not laughing enough, right? Yeah, so agreed. I'm very well known in my industry here, probably not in US, but here for sure in Toronto. People know me because I'm funny. I make fun of myself. I make fun of the industry as well in a nice way. And so the funny videos got me a lot of views and recognitions, and people just like to laugh. So that type of videos. Then I have the other videos where the myth of real estate. For example, I just did a myth on new built comparing to resale, right? Which one would be cheaper? And so I'm using lemonade and I'm using my kids. So it's informative in a funny way. So people feel like, oh, it does make sense. Okay, well, I can either buy a lemonade already made and done, and I know how it tastes, or I can make it myself. It'll take longer, it'll cost probably more, or maybe a little bit less, but I don't know what I'm getting. And that was my myth around existing
homes.
Sorry.
But what you're saying is really important, because that is something that every home buyer, or at least I've always thought this whenever I've moved to a new home, it's always, should I buy something fully done, brand new? Because I'm sort of I don't want to rebuild stuff myself. That's not my passion. But because I haven't really explored, I just know what I like. But if somebody were to show me a video that says, actually, DJ, here's the reasons why you may, even though you're not into fixing things up, here's the reasons why you still may want to do that. I would love to see both sides of that argument, right? Because right now in my brain, I'm just like, I just want the easy and quick way. I'm, look, we're all part of the TikTok, Instagram sort of generation now where everything looks perfect. Everything's already done and made. Or if it's a remodel, it's done in fast motion and it seems like it only took a few seconds. But as a result of that, I'm like, oh, I just don't want to get my hands dirty. But the truth is, I don't really know. And I think I'm probably missing out on opportunities because I haven't explored both sides. And so I love the fact that you're putting out content about what your clients actually are considering.
Yeah, absolutely. And having an image of, as I said, I use lemonade as an image to show them, here, I'm comparing the lemonade with new build and resale. And here is like, it's totally a metaphor, but they can see the difference. Okay, the new build, you may pay less at first, but then you have the fence and you know what I mean? Like the paint and whatnot, it takes longer. So I feel that having those video made in a funny way in my home with my children makes me more, not unique, but more likable. And it's not the word that I'm looking for.
Probably relatable.
Relatable. Right? Because, that's what I'm looking for.
Because you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a business owner.
I'm not a wife yet. If you would like to get married with me, no problem. I'll accept this.
You're from Paris and my last name is Paris. So maybe we could.
We're made for each other.
That would be funny. I was actually telling Gemma, I was like, this is the embarrassing part. I go, my last name is Paris and I haven't been to France since I was 18. So I am going to make a public declaration that I will be there in the next 12 months. I will go because it's been too long, but it also, but I've been to Montreal, which is kind of like Paris in a way.
Close enough.
That's funny. And I know that Toronto and Montreal people have like a little, isn't there like a beef between Toronto people? Or it's more the Montreal people, I think, with the Toronto people.
Montreal with everybody, I would say.
But anyway, no, that's very cute. But so how often are you making videos? How long does it take you to make one? And how often are you releasing?
So usually it depends on the content, right? Like I try to do one for each Christmas. I just did one for 2020, actually, where I took a cardboard and I wished my clients Merry Christmas. It was like a heartfelt yet funny cardboard thing because of COVID, where I use mask and gloves and it got a lot of views. So I redid this one 2023, actually, this year, a remake. So one for every Christmas for sure. Then I try to do an educational one every 2 months. And then there is the market update. And then there is all my new listings as well. So that's spaced out during the year.
So you're not pushing out content on a daily or basis. So for you, it's about, I imagine it's about putting out really high quality content that's going to take a little bit longer to make.
Yes, that's right. So usually when I create those video, I take 2-3 days with my videographer, and then it takes him a couple of months to do the edits. And I chose for YouTube, I chose quality over quantity, because again, it's a different platform. For TikTok, I can have my phone and do whatever, something funny, do it myself, edit it quickly. It's completely different. The platform on YouTube, I feel, is more for people who want quality, not quality.
Right. And the content on YouTube is reused. Obviously, it's always available. It's always searchable. And if you're posting content that is kind of evergreen, we would call it, or universal, things that always are, you know, for example, should I buy a new home or should I buy a one that I have to remodel? Those are always questions that will, till the end of time, will be questions people have. So if you post a really good piece of quality content on YouTube like that, or, hey, I'm moving to this neighborhood, here's all the things I should know before moving, or here's why you should or shouldn't move into this neighborhood, the pros and cons. Those are things that are always useful, because anytime somebody moves anywhere, I did this when I went to Ireland with my dad some time ago, and we're going on a trip. We'll be doing this again. We went to Ireland about 5 years ago, and we're going to go to Scotland next year with my mom and my dad. And what we'll do, or what I did when we were in Ireland, because we went a lot of places, is the day before, I'd go on YouTube. I'd say, show me all the cool things to do in this village. And I would download the video. And then we would listen to it in the car while we were driving. And that would inform us on what we would do instead of reading all the travel books, which we did as well. But I was like, I want to hear what the YouTubers say. Yeah. So I was doing that, and that content, I don't know how old that content was, because I was just whatever popped up. So it might have been years and years old, but that content will serve people for many, many years.
That's right.
Yeah. So so quality. So how do you determine what kind of content? So when you're thinking about, hey, I'm going to invest months really into this project. I'm going to film for a few days. I'm going to let my videographer take it. And it's not going to be done for a while. You have to be really careful or deliberate about what you want to do. So how do you make those decisions about what the content is?
Well, usually I think about, okay, what would I as a consumer would like to see? You know, like, for example, the next one that I will be releasing soon is about commission, right? Because a lot of people want to know, well, why am I paying so much commission right now? You know, and I want them to know. So I'm using a pie, right? A whole pie. So you are going to pay the whole commission. And here is why. Because if you're not going to pay full commission, where's the agent going to take the money from? So I take a scoop and I take, oh, marketing, here is less. Oh, negotiating, here is less. You know what I mean? So again, with having the pie, it's another showing, like to show people the, I don't have my words in English today, I'm sorry. It's just, you know, to show them how it is the same, because a lot of people are like, well, I'm paying way too much on commission. They don't know where the commission is going. And I feel that the consumer need to know and have more transparency on where every single penny they are giving us is going. So yeah, sure, I can be a 1%, but where would you like me to cut, Mr. and Mrs. Right. Buyer? Like, would you right. like me to not have brochures? Would you like me to not have videos? Would you like me to not advertise your property? If you want me to just put a sign on your lawn and put it on MLS, I can do that. I can be a 1% as well. But if you want to net more money, then this is what I'm going to do. And then I come with, at the listing appointment, I come with my track records and I show them this house was sold for $100,000 less than this one. And that's what that one, I sold it, right?
Right.
And I show them the difference. I say, I show them the data. I show them the difference, same street, same everything. And I show them, you don't want a stage. Please tell me why you don't want a stage. In my opinion, staging is one of the most important thing. Now I'm going to pay for staging, okay? But that is if you pay me full commission. If you're going to pay me 1%, there's no staging. This agent cannot stage your property, right? Right.
I love that. You are being very deliberate and persuasive in your defense of your commission, because it, you know, and now here in the US, and I don't know if this is if this is rumbled up in Canada as well, but we're having the National Association of Realtors yes. lawsuit that of course you're aware of. And now realtors, for maybe the first time for a lot of realtors, are starting to defend, on the buy side at least, starting to defend, here's how I'm getting paid. And by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, you might have to pay me going forward because we're going to try to get it from the seller, but it's not that way anymore, always. It's not a guarantee. So here's why I'm worth X. And I love what you said about, I charge this for, this is my service, my professional service fee. And if you don't want to do these things, it's we have to figure out where that money is going to, or if you do want to do them, where that money is going to come from. And yeah. the reason why I'm suggesting all of these things is you have data to back up. If we do these things, you will actually benefit more, Mr. or Mrs. Homeowner. So, yeah. or home buyer or seller. Yeah.
And even more than that, I just, again, do reverse psychology and I tell them, well, I may not be the right agent for you.
Love that.
And then as soon as I start saying that, they're like, what do you mean? I thought I chose you, you know? And I'm like, no, this is a two-way relationship here. You may want to work with me. I may not want to work with you. Please understand that as soon as I'm going to put my sign on your lawn, it's going to start costing me dollars amount. And until I sell your house, I don't get no money. And I don't know about you, but I am not in the business of having houses in a houseware. I'm in the business of selling houses, not trying to sell houses, right? Yeah. Otherwise, I have two young children at home watching me and asking me, why didn't you sell that house, right? And trust me, you don't want to mess with my kids.
No, but I know that's kind of a cute and funny thing to say, but it's actually true, right? Mm-hmm. So what you're actually saying is, you know, it's cute and it's conversational, but it's really important that they understand, hey, this is how I get paid. This is why I get paid the what I do. And it's all for your benefit, Mr. or Mrs. Client. And I think, you know, now here, realtors are scrambling on the buy side to start figuring out how to have those conversations, because now we have to start asking sometimes the buyers to write a check. And that, of course, is something that agents never had to do before, at least here in the U.S. So I love the fact that you fully defend, and all good agents do. They always have no problem talking about commissions. That's one of the most common traits among the hundreds and hundreds of agents I've interviewed on this show, is whenever I ask them about defending commissions, even before the lawsuit, they were always like, oh yeah, I know how to do that, of course. And the people I've had on the show never discount their fees. They're like, this is what I charge. Yeah. I'm confident in saying why. I have data to back it up. And so for anyone listening who is worried that your commissions may be coming down as a result of the Sitzer Burnett lawsuit with NAR, don't be so quick to that judgment, because I think if you're not a very good agent, yes, you should be worried. If you are an agent that is dedicated and committed, this is just another skill to learn. You're going to learn the skill about how to communicate this. Gemma's doing it right here in front of us, and it's made perfect sense to me. So let's talk. Let's go back to YouTube for a second. So when you're thinking about putting out content, because you don't put out a ton of content, but the content you put out is really deliberate, do you do any reverse searching to figure out what, in other words, you want people to find you on YouTube through SEO, which is just, you know, search engine optimization. So you want people, when they search, to find your content. So you're having to think from a consumer's perspective, what are people in my marketplace searching for? So how do you do that research, or how do you think about that?
Well, exactly. Like, if I wanted to bake a cake, what would I say in Google? What would I type in Google to get that cake? Exactly like that. So I'm not trying to over, and this is the problem. I feel that a lot of people are trying to overthink it.
Right.
What should I say? How should I say it? What? And then at the end of the day, they don't do nothing because they took too much time to think on how to do it perfectly. Just there is no perfect recipe ever. It's the recipe that will work for you. So whatever worked for me, which is how do I bake this cake, I type it just like that, and those are the tags that are going to go on my YouTube, on my video. And so I try to think about it different ways, you know, different way of how people would ask that same question, but to lead them to the same answer. I mean, there is not many ways to say, why do I want to live in Innisfil?
Right.
So you just type, why do I want to live in Innisfil?
Yeah.
Live in Innisfil, move to Innisfil. Those are just like, that's it, right?
And you can start, when you're doing research on what existing content already exists, or sorry, I said same thing twice, but whatever existing content is there already, you can start to see where there's opportunity, right? So if you typed in like best restaurants in Innisfil, well, maybe there's already 20 amazing videos there, and you might go, that's already pretty saturated. I don't want to try to play in that space. But maybe you have a different question, like best neighborhoods to live in, or whatever it might be.
Or you just refine it, like the best Italian restaurant in Innisfil. Yes.
Right.
Like, you just change one word, but, and then now you change your video, but now all the Italian people will want to go to that one. So you're the only video with Italian word in there, right?
And what you can do, even to go on this Italian restaurant idea, is you could then call the Italian restaurant you wanted to do and go, oh, by the way, I work at this area. I'm a huge fan of your place. Can I come in and just do a quick little video shoot about why I love your restaurant? And maybe I could even interview you for a few seconds about how you started the restaurant. They're going to be thrilled to do that because number one, it's free.
Yeah.
Number two, you're going to be promoting their stuff. Yeah. And third, maybe they'll promote the video too, right? So you could even get really granular. So if anyone's listening, if you're ever curious about, oh gosh, I don't know what to do, think about your favorite retailers, your favorite restaurants, and just go in and say, hey, can I shoot a quick video here? And I want to introduce my audience to your services or your store.
That's right. Absolutely. And like, for example, I'm trying to look at, I did a video like this actually during COVID where I could not go physically to interview anyone, but it was a video on marketing for your house. And I actually interviewed a stager, a marketing agency, stuff like that to tell people, why is it important for you to have an agent who does all of that? And I had professional people answering those questions, which also got me a lot of views because it was pretty powerful, because people do need to know. Like, a lot of people are telling me, oh, I don't need to stage my house. Yes, you do. My house is, and I tell them, my house is on the market right now and I staged it. Yes, you do. Every house needs to be staged. End of story.
Yeah. Yeah, no, every house needs to be staged. Every house needs a video walkthrough. Yeah. I mean, you should have a, you know, drone stuff if you can afford it. Or, you know, we live in a video world, guys. Mm-hmm. This is what people want to see. And it's just going to help you get more views. I could not agree with you more. And so when you do your videos, do you have a particular length of your videos that you find works best for you? Or do you not focus too much on how long or short it is?
For walkthrough videos, I try to stay around the less than 3 minutes to no more than 3 minutes one, because people get tired of it. It needs to be interactive. But for properties that are a little bit bigger or more luxurious, it has to be a little bit longer, because now we are featuring the lifestyle. So the lifestyle, like if you have a sauna, a hot tub, if you're on the lake, now you're like, I had videos where I was actually myself on a jet ski to show how, like, you know, the lake life and whatnot. So those will be a little bit longer. The video that I have and the one that I really recommend everybody to do, mine has like over 150,000 views, is the testimonial one. Because I can tell you all I want that I'm great. Until somebody else is tell you that I'm great, you're not going to listen to me, but you're going to listen to that person. So one of the best video that I've made, and again, it's on my YouTube channel, you can look at it, it's client testimonial, it's called. It's clients who are talking about me, real clients that I really helped, not fake people, actors. And they tell you what was their experience with me. And through them, now that promotes me. Now that video is no longer than 2 minutes, and that was enough in my opinion, because you don't want to also overdo it. So right. Really depending on what you're doing, don't go 20 minutes on a subject. This is way too long. You know, I feel every video for real estate should be less than five for sure. Between 2 and 4 is the magic number for me, in my opinion.
Yeah. And just a quick idea for anyone out there who's thinking of content ideas, you could do pick a neighborhood, pick a local market geography thing, and do what realtors don't tell you about X, or realtor secrets about X. These are things that people do search for, you know, tips for buying a home in X, you know, things like that.
The closing process, like nobody knows. Okay, you bought a house, so now what? What's happening now?
Right. Awesome. Oh, I want to ask you about this. So you help somebody buy or sell a home, but now you have, I don't know, 7 years to where you probably won't need to, they won't need your services for that time. This is just a separate question. How are you staying in touch with your clientele after the sale, right? So you help them buy or sell something, and then there's this long period of time. And I'm asking this because I'll tell you, and this is not a story that anyone wouldn't have heard elsewhere, but I want to share it. This morning I had this is so funny. I'll give you a perfect example of why I'm bringing this up. One of our, an agent here at our firm has a client that's buying a $600,000 home, wants to buy a $600,000 home in somewhere in Texas. And I have a friend that lives in this exact area in Texas, and she used a realtor. So I messaged her this morning. I go, hey, I've got a referral for your agent. This is, her agent was 3 years ago. So 3 years ago. And I said, hey, can you get me your agent? I know you really liked her. I've got somebody who needs to use her, and I'm going to give her she's going to be very happy with this email that I'm about to send her, because it's basically a free sale. And she goes, I haven't heard from my realtor in 3 years. And she goes, honestly, refer it to somebody else. And what's 600,000 times 2.5%? That's like what, 14 grand, something like that. She just lost, I don't know, 10 grand, something like that. So anyway, I'm curious, just because it's fresh on my mind, what are you doing in between sales so that that hopefully never happens to you?
Yeah. So most of my clients, I'm not going to say all my clients, but most of my clients becomes my best friends. So it means that they are my social media, and therefore on my social media, they take my full attention. So I am on social media at least 2 hours a day. So that's 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at lunch, 15 minutes in the afternoon, and 15 minutes at night. So 15 minutes is not overwhelming. But when I'm on social media, I'm not on social media just to scroll. I couldn't care less about scrolling. I'm not interested about what you ate for breakfast. However, if you're my client, I'm going to care about what you ate for breakfast. So what I do is I go to my friends list and I look at all my friends, the most important. From the most important to the least important. And the most important are the people that are going to give me business, obviously. And not only because they are going to give me business, because I like them too. If I don't like them, they're not there. But then I personally go on their Facebook and I comment and I like and I follow. And if they had a death in the family, I send flowers. And if they had a baby, I show up with a baby gift. And if whatever. So that's social media. And I like Facebook better for that, because I feel that Instagram is just pictures and look at me, but whatever. So Facebook, I feel that there is more interaction for my audience. Then after that, I have a CRM, obviously. So in my CRM, you're going to receive an email from me every month for the newsletter. And then I have automation on my CRM that sends them email to say, hey, how you doing? I just drove by your house. I was thinking about you. This is an automation. I did not drive by them, but by their house. But that email is set to go on day 300. You know what I mean? Right. So they know that I'm thinking of them. And so I have an automation on each and every single deal that I close, and they receive certain emails. And then for Mother's Day, all my mothers are going to get cards. For Christmas, all of them are going to get cards. For Thanksgiving, all of them are going to get cards. So they get cards from me at least 4 times per year, written cards I'm talking. 4 times per year, emails at least once a month, if not more, and Facebook all the time. And then every so often, I just text them, hey, how you doing? I was thinking about you, whatever. Pop by, like you just continue, like there is no way I'm gonna make you forget about me if I liked you. Now, if I didn't like you and didn't like to work with you, then it's a one-time thing. I'm not going to reach out. But that doesn't happen often, although it has happened.
Sure.
But yeah, why would you kiss goodbye $14,000?
Crazy, right?
Just because you didn't send like 4 cards per year?
Yeah,
like, that doesn't make sense.
For $10 for a year, so here's what I did is I didn't know anybody. It was a little tiny town that I really didn't know. I went to Google and I typed in top realtors in that area, and I looked at their Zillow reviews, and I went, well, I don't know any of these people, but the person with the most reviews got the lead. Now, that obviously not everyone can do, because there's only one of those people in every market, but. What a shame for that agent who I know my friend liked this agent, but she didn't stay in touch. And she's like, I guess she doesn't care that much. So So there we go. You know, but I loved all of your ideas there. It sounds like you.
But isn't it crazy though that this particular agent? I'm pretty sure she's spending thousands of dollars on leads,
for sure,
leads generation, or door knock, or newsletter, or whatever she's doing. But your best, the gold mine, is people who already like you, know you, and done business with you.
Yeah. And what I love is, yes, you have these regular communication patterns with emails. You, you know, you have the cards that go out, and, you know, those are on a, and you have drip email campaigns as well. Day 300, day 500, et cetera. You've got all of that. And you're sending a text every so often. Hey, how's it going? How are you doing? You're not probably even needing to ask much about real estate. You're just checking in with them. How is everything going with you? They'll tell you if they need your services, obviously. But the other thing that I love that you do is you spend time 4 times a day going on social media. Now, guys, this is so interesting what she said. You can set up your feed to only show your friends. And if you, you really should consider doing that, because those are the people you want to interact with the most. And so what I love, Gemma said, and this is so golden, this is such a golden tip, is go on there and use that as reasons to reach out. So she's commenting on posts. She's liking. Let's just do a quick little exercise in our mind. Think about the last time you posted something on any of the social channels. Did you notice who commented? I'll bet you did. You absolutely did, because very few people comment. Only maybe less than 1% of people who see something comment. So when they do, it gives you a little dopamine spike. You feel good about yourself. You're like, ah, I'm important. Someone likes me. And guess what? That happens with everyone else too. So the idea is she's commenting. And what she's really doing more than anything is she's demonstrating that she cares about these people. She's demonstrating that she likes them. And she likes them so much that she's checking in to see what they're up to. And that used to be very hard before social media. You would have to actually call people and be like, hey, did you go on vacation lately? You don't have to do that anymore. You just go to Facebook or Instagram and you're like, hey, tell me about your Cancun vacation. I saw it on Instagram. Tell me about it. Amazing.
The other thing that I want to add very quickly, because I do think it's very important, is every morning I go on Facebook and I look at whose birthday it is today. And what I do is a quick video. Hey, Henry, happy birthday. I'm so happy it's your birthday. I wish you the best for today. I don't know if you're going to have cake or whatever, but let me know how it goes. And I send them a video. It takes me literally, I kid you not, less than 5 minutes to do that. But people are like, wow, you send me a video like for my birthday? Because on your birthday, you're going to receive, I don't know how many people are going to, you know, comment on your Facebook and this and that. But if I send you a private message with a video using your name and sing, like last year I was doing the singing thing, oh, happy birthday to you, whatever, I was singing. And I, at the end, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm really a bad singer, but my heart is there, right? That video, those videos just like took off like crazy. It's like gold. And they're like, wow, you actually took the time to do that. Again, is you show you care, right?
You know, I'd be curious if every one of our listeners for the next year committed to going to Facebook every morning, and only for the people that you're closest to. This, I don't think if you've never met somebody that the happy, I don't know, maybe it would work, but for certainly for the people closest to you, if you do what Gemma suggested, is, you know, turn your phone around, at least just say, hey, happy birthday. I know it's your big day. I didn't want to bug you, but I wanted to send this to you, let you know I'm thinking about you. I hope you're doing something fun. Hope the kids are good, blah, blah, blah. Have a good day, or sing, or be cute, or whatever. It takes a couple of minutes. You probably do 2 of them a day, maybe 3 a day. I would be curious what that would do to somebody's production. It certainly isn't going to decrease somebody's production. Nope. Like, there's really no negative there, because everybody, I had a birthday. Oh, I'm coming up on a birthday. I will get 0 of those messages, but I'll get 200 happy birthday, Facebook comments. And then I go, oh, no, I got to go. I'm really appreciative of that. But then I'm like, I got to go through all 200 of these and go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it sort of kind of loses its magic, because.
And you don't remember when, once you are at 200, you like, you don't remember who said what.
No, nothing.
But if I send you a video singing happy birthday, you're going to remember me for sure.
I love it. So there's a couple of just quick little video tips. First, again, think from what you're, when you, if you're posting on YouTube, and you should, because content lives forever. It's not disposable. You know, TikTok's disposable, Instagram's disposable, Facebook's disposable in a lot of cases, but YouTube lives forever. So if you can think about, and I would say too, if anyone is thinking about what should I do for content, what do your clients ask you about? Think about what your clients ask you. Those are the questions they're typing into Google and YouTube. So that, and then I love this idea of, you know, celebrating somebody's birthdays. And you can do this too with other things, like LinkedIn tells you when someone gets a new job or when they get a promotion or when they, you know, switch careers or whatever. You could do the same thing. Turn your phone around. I just saw you got a new job. I'm so happy for you. Hope it's going well. Tell me all about it. You know, see you later. Bye. Like those are easy to do. They cost nothing except a couple of minutes of time. And boy, I mean, especially for somebody gets like a promotion or something, like that's huge. And
but remember just to set apart, as I said, I do 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at lunch, 15 minutes in the afternoon, 15 minutes at night. And I go there for 15 minutes and then I leave because otherwise I'm going to stay on Facebook, continue to scroll and waste my time doing things I shouldn't be doing.
I love it. You're actually using social media in a healthy way, which is very hard to do. I love that. Well, I think this is a really great place to sort of pause for today, because you just gave our audience a ton of value, and I want everybody to give back to Gemma. I want you to check out her YouTube channel, which is Gemma Leggett, Real Estate Broker. Don't worry about spelling it. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. It's GEMMALEGGETT. Again, we'll have a link to that, but follow, like, and subscribe to her channel, because you are going to start to see, maybe get some ideas of what could work for you. And again, you don't have to put out content 5 times a week. You don't have to show yourself in the gym every morning. I'm, you know, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, but you don't have to do that. Yeah. You can do other things too. And so if you watch Gemma's videos, you'll see she's very deliberate. She's slow with her content because she wants it to be really good quality content, not disposable content. So this is really about building, putting out a video that might give you returns for years and years and years, because it's that strong. So check out her YouTube channel, and also go to her website. She has a really cool website, by the way, too. I think your website also captured my interest within a few seconds, because it had the couple kind of coming in right away. They were so happy. She has a little video that plays behind, which is very popular right now. But I love this video because it had people in it. A lot of times realtor videos just have pictures or videos of interiors or exteriors, and that's okay too. But it caught my attention that there was a couple in your video and they were both in white shirts. That kind of caught my eye as well. And I thought, I was like, is that Gemma? Like, I couldn't even tell if that was you or not.
But I wish, she's beautiful. It's not me.
Well, it does sort of look like you a bit. So I was like, that might be. But again, the whole point is it caught my attention. And I'm like, oh, is that Gemma or not? Like, I was thinking about it because I was on her website. And you want people thinking about it, whether or not, you know, whatever they're thinking, you want them to think like, that's kind of cool. And her website does that. So check it out, guys. And that's Gemma Leggett. GemmaLeggett.ca. Again, GEMMALEGGETT.ca. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. Please follow her on all the social channels as well. She'd love to connect with you. And if you are a realtor that has clients that move in and out of around the Toronto area, she's north of Toronto, but she can still assist. Don't hesitate to reach out. She'd love to possibly partner with you. And she has clients that move out of her area too, and maybe move further south, like into Florida and places like that. I know there's a lot of people from Toronto that go down there because basically Toronto is New York, you know, so close to New York. She has people that moved to the US as well. So definitely reach out if you think you guys could start sharing some clients. So anyway, Gemma, thank you so much. This was really a fun, great interview with you. I want to thank you on behalf of our audience. I also want to thank our audience on behalf of Gemma and myself for sticking around to the very end. We appreciate you. Please do us a favor and tell just one other realtor about this episode. Everybody needs help with their video marketing, or at least most realtors do. This is a great episode to send to them to get them encouraged and excited. You know, this is a tough year for realtors. It was a tough year last year too. Yeah. So let's remember that everybody needs as much encouragement as possible. And if they just get one good idea, well, you've done a good job for them. So send this over to somebody that you know that's a realtor. And also, please leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate all your comments. And we want to always do better. So we want to know what you need so we can continue to improve. Gemma, thank you so, so much. Gemma Leggett, if you need a realtor just north of Toronto, she is the queen of her area and her local market. Please reach out. Gemma, thank you so, so much. I really appreciate your time. We'll see everybody on the next episode.
Thank you so much, DJ. Thank you for having me.